From Hollywood, transcribed, CBS Radio brings you a gay new comedy show, That's Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Rich. We take you now to the Biltmore Bungalow Court, that is, in Hollywood, where Richard E. Wilkes shares an apartment with his Uncle Jonathan. Rich, as you know, works at the Consolidated Paper Products Company, where he makes $23 a week. What you might call a most untidy sum.
Untidy? I call it downright messy. Every time I ask my boss for a raise, he tells me $23 a week is not to be sneezed at. Gee, if today's prices, $23 is gone before you can say gesundheit. I know a lot of people say, what good is money? Can it buy happiness? Look at it the other way. What good is happiness? Can it buy money? The way the bills keep piling up around the house, things are getting pretty rough. And I've just about made up my mind that something drastic's got to be done. Uncle must feel the same way because all morning he's been looking through the want ads. Have you find anything yet, Uncle Jonathan?
No, boy. Nothing very exciting. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, here's one looks pretty good. No. The pay is all right, but the hours, 1 to 3 every afternoon.
What's wrong with that? Only 2 hours a day from 1 to 3? I work at the paper company from 9 to 5.
Exactly. How can you be in two places at the same time?
Straighten me out here, somebody.
What?
I guess I'm not very bright. I thought you were looking for a job for yourself.
Rich, I don't want you to get the impression that I have anything against work. Why, some of my best friends work. Just that you don't jump at these things haphazardly. A man must think about the future.
Uncle Jonathan, the way you're going at it, by the time you find something with a future, you'll be too old to have a future.
What a past.
Yeah. I just got to find another job. But what? Any suggestions? What would you like me to be?
I'd like you to be a millionaire, but unfortunately that takes money.
It certainly isn't a poor man's hobby. I mean, what kind of work would you say I'm best suited for?
Let's not narrow down the field, my boy. Have you ever thought of going into Wall Street?
Wall Street?
Well, you'd have to start at the bottom, of course.
You mean on the curb?
Yes, but in a few years, you might become a big stockbroker.
Gosh, a stockbroker on Wall Street. I wonder what it would be like. Hello, buy 100 shares of Hawaiian pineapple. Hello, buy 100 Alaska salmon. Yellow, buy universal bread.
Richard, my boy, aren't you overbuying?
Can't help it. I'm hungry.
I see. Well, what's on the ticker, boy?
Well, I'm a little worried. The bulls are really playing havoc with our December wheat.
The cows aren't doing as much good either.
No.
Can't understand it, Rick. Dunn and Bradstreet say business is picking up.
Maybe they're in a better location than we are.
Hello? Yes, I'll tell them. Well, what do you know, Rick? International Pump has just merged with Consolidated Nickel. Wonder what they'll call the new firm.
Pumpernickel, what else?
Rick, listen to this.
Anything wrong, Uncle?
I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but the bottom has just dropped out of the market.
Well, that's nothing. With all the money they got, they just call a carpenter and have it fixed.
No joking matter, my boy.
What was that just went by the window?
That was Broker Jones from the 16th floor. There goes Broker Canfield from the 15th floor. Broker Cooper.
14th floor?
That's right.
What floor are we on?
13th.
After you, Unc.
Rich, can't you hear me talking to you?
Oh, gee, sorry, Uncle. I guess I was daydreaming. What a nightmare.
Well, now, what about your going down to Wall Street?
Wall Street? Look, I think maybe I better talk this job business over with my girlfriend, Freckles. After all, she and I expect someday.
Well, Rich, what could be better than the stock market?
No, Unc. I just realized what they mean by the expression, a Wall Street plunger.
Thank you.
Well, to name three, I'm depressed, dejected, and down in the mouth.
Well, now you just come into the living room and tell Mama all about it.
Mama? I knew there was a fourth reason.
Oh, silly, I mean me.
Oh, sure.
What's the trouble, Rick?
Freckles, you know there's no one closer to me than you are.
Then why are you sitting at the other end of the sofa, Rick?
Yeah.
That's better. Now, you were saying?
Freckles, one of these days...
Yes, sir?
I hope to ask you a very important question.
Yes, sir?
And I hope your answer will be...
Yes, sir?
Boy, like, girl plays hard to get. Really, Freckles, right now I'm in no position to ask.
Of course not. Why did you move to the other end of the sofa?
It's cooler there. I mean, you live in this beautiful home in Beverly Hills, and I live in that sty you call a bungalow court. Not to mention the fact that your mother doesn't like me.
Oh, Rick, Mother won't come between us.
I don't mind her coming between us so much. But when she comes up behind me.
Now, Rick, really?
Things won't always be this way, Freckles. I'm thinking of quitting my job at the paper company and getting into a new field. Something with a future for both of us. And, well, I'd like your advice.
Oh, well, Rick.
What do you think I'm best suited for?
Let's not narrow down the field, Rick.
Uncle Jonathan thinks I should go into Wall Street.
Oh, that's not for you, Rick. Well, you're much too sensitive. You like to help people. You always listen to their troubles. And when they're hurt, try to heal their wounds. That's it. Why don't you become a doctor?
A doctor?
And I could be your nurse. And we'd always be together.
A doctor? Gee, I wonder. Maybe a doctor. Doctor.
Surgery.
No, I won't do it. I called them last time. It's their turn to call me.
Please calling Dr. Wilkes. Come to surgery. Dr. Wilkes. Please come to surgery, Dr. Wilkes. Pretty please. With sugar on it.
Well, if you put it that way. Yes, Nurse Freckles, what is it?
We're all ready for the operation, Dr. Wilkes, right over here.
All right. Say, the patient looks pretty bad. I'm afraid we may be too late.
Yeah, look at him in the mirror, doctor.
Dr. Wilkes, emergency patient. He was hit by a car.
But Dr. Wilkes is just beginning to operate on another patient.
All right, nurse. As long as I'm here, I can kill two birds with one stone. Now, let me take a look at him here. Why, it's Uncle Jonathan. What happened?
Got hurt in the bathroom, Rick.
You must be delirious. How could you be hit by a car in the bathroom?
This is California, boy, and they want you to come.
Get on with the operation. First, I'll make the incision. Now, to get to the source of the trouble. This won't hurt a bit. And sew it up. Uncle Jonathan, up we go, just as good as new.
Don't chase me out of the grain car, brakeman. I was just feeling my oats.
What?
Rich. Everything come out all right?
Yes. Just operated on your appendix.
My appendix? I had my appendix taken out 20 years ago.
That I know. I put one in. What?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, gee. Sorry, Freckles. My mind wandered there for a minute.
Well, Rick, are you going to become a doctor and be a benefactor to humanity?
Make up your mind, Freckles. I can't do both.
Well,
knew what to do.
Hi, Rick.
Oh, hello, you.
How's the wife and kids?
What? You know I haven't got any wife and kids.
I know, but it seems like such a friendly way to start the conversation.
I'm a little upset today. I'm thinking of getting another job. But I don't know what. Frankly, I'm up a tree.
Well, that is a problem. Now, if you was a cat, I could call the fire department.
What sort of work do you think I'm best suited for?
Well, let's not narrow it down, Rick. Why don't you go to a psychiatrist?
Hey, that might be an idea.
Yeah, I went to one of them fellas once, had me lie down on a couch, and in 5 minutes, he told me what I was best suited for.
What was that?
Lying on a couch.
Now, look, you.
Just the other day, I ran into the same psychiatrist dashing down the street with a couch on his back.
Wait a minute. Couch on his back?
Yeah, he was making a house call.
I'm trying to find out what kind of job I should aim for.
Well, I got an idea. You're kind of flighty. Did you ever think of becoming an aviator?
Gee, aviator. That sounds interesting. Me, an aviator. Aviator.
Gathered here this afternoon to witness the takeoff of the first rocket ship to the moon. Now, here is the gallant pilot, Richard E. Wilkes.
Thank you.
Pilot Wilt, I see you're all dressed for the trip. Would you mind describing your flying suit to the audience?
Certainly. I'm wearing a tight steel crash helmet on my head, tight steel jacket around my chest, tight steel pants, and tight steel shoes.
What are you wearing underneath? Loose DVDs.
But I have room to move around somewhere.
Now tell us, Mr. Wilt, whom are you taking along as your crew?
Just my trusty navigator here, Hugh McHugh.
Oh, I see. And Mr. McHugh, would you tell the audience the name of your rocket ship?
Yeah. It's XLYT346892BRW.
Squared. How did you come to pick a name like that?
I don't know. I guess the first thing come to my mind.
Come on, now, tell me the truth. It's your girlfriend's name.
Oh, you Smith.
Yeah.
Attention, please. Our two intrepid flyers are now boarding their ship, and they are off.
Well, here we go. How do you feel, Cadet Hugh?
So not so good, Commander Rick. I'm scared.
Not afraid of falling, are you, ma'am?
It ain't the falling I mind so much. It's a sudden stop.
I'll think nothing of it. Stand by now. We're approaching the moon. I'd better announce it to the people back there on Earth. Stand by, Earth. We're preparing to land on the lunar satellite. And for your information, there's a full moon tonight. Correction, there'll be two half moons tonight.
Red.
Huh?
Hey, Red.
What? Oh, sorry, you. Gee, what were you saying?
I was advising you to become an aviator.
No, I don't think so, you. I'll have to think of something else.
Don't you want to become a sky carrier?
No, if you don't mind, I'd rather stay down here and be a groundhog.
We'll return to That's Rich in a moment. In addition to the weekday evening concerts by the Symphonette, CBS Radio offers the Symphonette with your favorite light classics every Saturday and Sunday afternoon as well. Four times a week, Wednesday and Friday evenings, Saturday and Sunday afternoons, we hear the Symphonette over most of these same stations. Wonderful listening with a familiar, fine musical organization. Yes, it's the Star's address, weekend two for the Symphonette. Now back to That Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Rich. Well, Rich is still trying to find out the type of work for which he is best suited. We find him now in the apartment, looking through the want ad.
Gee, Unc, I just gotta find something. Hey, listen to this. Big opportunities in radio. Let us develop your hidden talents.
you too can be another Red Skelton, another Jack Benny, another Eve Arden. Hey, this is for me.
Well, hold on there, boy. Another Eve Arden. Even talent has its limits.
Oh. Don't you see, though, Unc? Back in high school, I used to be in all the plays, and you've heard the imitations I can do.
Why, sure, Rick, sure. Maybe you hit on something.
Yeah, let's see. $10 registration fee. Well, I think I have that much in the cookie jar.
The cookie jar.
Yeah.
My boy, the cookie jar.
Have you been nibbling again, Unc?
Well, you see, nephew.
Gosh, Uncle Jonathan. Here's my big chance to start building for the future, and now you...
Well, now, don't give up so easily, Rich. When Benjamin Franklin was trying to discover electricity, did he give up just because someone told him to go fly a kite?
No, I guess he didn't at that. But what's that got to do with me getting into radio school?
Buck up, lad. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Fine, but where are we going to find a cat with $10?
Palladium?
Yeah.
Look, Rich, look, you don't have to go. Tell you what I can do. I can take you right down to the radio station and introduce you to the manager. You'll get a job like that.
You'll introduce me? You mean, you know the manager?
No. But he doesn't know me either, so we'll be starting even. Well, here we are, Rich. L.B. Comstock, personnel manager.
Gee, I hope you'll see us.
My boy, have I ever failed you?
Gee, I hope you'll see us.
L.B. Comstock's office. Yes, I'll give him the message. Yes, gentlemen, anything I can do for you?
Just tell L.B. that J.E. is here.
J.E.?
Also M.E.
M.E.?
Yeah, me.
Quiet, quiet.
Do you have an appointment?
Appointment? Since when does J.E. need an appointment to see L.B.? You must be new around here.
I've been with Mr. Comstock for 10 years.
It's funny. I don't remember seeing you before.
Well, I don't remember seeing you either.
You know, Unc, if I didn't know you, we'd be three perfect strangers.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Comstock is a very busy man. He won't see anybody without an appointment.
Well, put it down for 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock? 5 minutes of 12 now.
We'll wait.
You're wasting your time. Mr. Comstock is booked solid for the rest of the week.
Oh, Arthur Snow, we'll never get in to see him.
Hold it, boy. Hold it, boy. No faint heart there, one fair lady.
Well, in that case, maybe we should try to see Mrs. Comstock. Now, come on. Let's get out of here, Ron. Well, that's that. I guess I'll just have to wait and save up enough for that registration fee at the radio school. Say, how much is left in the cookie jar, Uncle?
2 biscuits and a soggy donut. Now, look, don't get panicky, my boy. I promise that I'd get you into that office, and by George, Rich, look out, that janitor's tail.
What's that on?
Rich, can't you hear me talking to you? Say something, Rich. Looks like he's out cold.
Say, what happened out here? I heard a... Oh, is he hurt? Better take him into Mr. Comstock's office, and I'll call a doctor.
I told that boy I'd get him in to see Mr. Comstock. Well, he's still out. There don't seem to be any bones broken. All right, Mr. Comstock, let's get down to business.
I beg your pardon?
Don't I know you from someplace, Mr. Comstock?
Get to whatever it is that concerns
this you. This young man here wants to get into radio.
Oh, well, you'll have to see my secretary for an appointment sometime next week.
Yeah, no, sir, we tried that this morning. I can't have my nephew falling on his head every time he wants to come and see you. How about talking things over right now?
Well, I must say it's the most unusual way to hold an audition. What could he do in radio?
What could he do in radio?
What could I do in radio? Sure, he's coming too.
No, I don't think so, but let's listen.
If only I had a chance. What I couldn't do in radio. Radio.
Nike Kleenex shoes now on the air. And this is Wiggity Wilt, the early bird philosopher. The time is now 5:45 a.m. Here's my first thought for today. What are you people doing up so early? My second thought for today. What am I doing up so early? Now, a word from my sponsor.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Oh, boy, and my sponsor paid for a word. He really gets his money's worth.
The Mr. and Mrs. Program, or Breakfast with the Richard E. Wilt. Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Rick. How did you sleep last night?
Like a top.
How do you feel this morning?
Dizzy.
Well, here we are once again in our cozy little apartment surrounded by all our pets. Our little canary.
Our Siamese cat.
Little Rover.
And it's nice to have your mother with us.
How would you like some of this new cereal for breakfast?
No, eh?
It's supposed to be very healthy, full of iron. Here, I'll place them on your plate.
How do you eat this, with a spoon or a magnet?
Oh, here's our little thousand-haired, pink-cheeked youngster.
Morning, fighter. Morning, Mater.
Oh, Brader.
Junior, what are you doing with that cigar in your mouth?
Yes, how many times have I told you not to smoke cigars before breakfast?
Well, I know it's wrong for a little tousle-haired, pink-cheeked youngster to smoke cigars. But I'm saving the band. When I get 100, I can trade them in.
What for?
Bottle of bourbon.
And now, the Celebrity Forum, where Richard E. Wilt interviews today's celebrity, Captain Hugh McHugh. Hero of one of the most dramatic sea rescues of our time.
Thank you very much. Now, Captain McHugh, just speak right into the microphone here. Suppose you tell us the story in your own words. I wonder if you speak a little more distinctly, sir.
Well... I was on my boat, see.
Got it now?
I got it now. I was on my boat. I was lying down on the poop deck. See, I was tarred.
Oh.
And I seen this lady out in the ocean going down for the third time. I figured she was overdoing it. I was trying to lower the boat, so being an old paratrooper, I jumped, counted up to 10, and pulled the cord.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
My trunk fell off.
I can imagine that must have been pretty embarrassing.
It sure was. I had to spend the rest of the afternoon running in and out with the tide. I know. When I was swimming around out there, this big crab come along and bit off one of my toes.
Which one?
How should I know? All them crabs look alike.
Tell me, sir, what happened to the lady?
Oh, that's another story.
Home Economics Hour. And here is your host, Richard E. Wilt, with today's helpful hint to housewives.
Ladies, why scrub floors? Why wash dishes? Why sweat over a hot stove? To save yourself countless hours of toil throughout the day, hire a maid.
KNXG brings you our popular daytime serial.
Another chapter in the life of
John's Other Gal, 2 weeks from Sunday. The story that asks the question, can two ordinary run-of-the-mill people find happiness running a mill? Episode, you may recall, Sheriff Hawkins, who is John's father-in-law, was on his way to the cottage where Edith, Sunday's sister who eloped with Fred the milkman, has just returned from the honeymoon in the High Sierras where she has contracted chilblains. At the same time, Lawyer Jackson, bending over the body of Nick James, and he was bent on no good, you may be sure, was surprised by the unexpected return of Cynthia's brother Bill. In today's chapter, the story begins to get complicated. John and Marcia are in the living room. And as the scene opens, Marcia speaks. John speaks. For another thrilling chapter in the lives of John and Mark.
This is station KNXG signing off for the night. But first, a couple of words from your midnight philosopher, Richard E. Wilkes.
Lord, I'm tired.
Oh, Uncle Johnson. What happened?
Well, don't you remember, boy? Out in the hall there, you kicked the bucket. You almost did.
Well, now I remember. He had a crazy dream.
Yes, you were talking in your dream. We heard it.
We? Oh, who's he?
Oh, this is Mr. Comstock, Rich. Well, sir, what did you think of my nephew's audition?
Well, I think we have a place for him here, KNXG.
There you are, Rich. Didn't I tell you I'd swing it?
Oh, yes. Now, how about you, son? Can you swing it?
Swing what?
This mop, the janitor's bucket you kicked over, has quit.
This has been That Rich, transcribed, starring Stan Freeberg as Rich, with Alan Reed as Jonathan E. Wells, Patty Chapman as Freckles, and Dawes Butler as Hugh McHugh. Also heard with Charlotte Lawrence and Larry Dobkin. Music by George Fields. Roy Rowan speaking. That Rich, created by Frank and Doris Hersley and written by Milton Paschal and Morris Friedman, is produced by Homer Canfield and directed by Lou Derman.